All right. You may have seen the plaque that I'm going to mention here. Maybe it's a Christian plaque that people hang on their walls. Maybe you hang it on the wall in your house, or you've been to somebody's house who has this plaque. Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation, which, depending on the day, is comforting or not. It's really a very nice sentiment, but there should be, I think, a warning label attached to that plaque, because when Jesus sits down at your dinner table, he will not be the silent listener at every conversation. Jesus will speak his mind, and things might just get a little bit dicey when Jesus sits at your dinner table. One evening, a group of Pharisees found out that Jesus can be a very dangerous guest to have over for supper. And we're going to see that this morning as we continue in our study of the parables of Jesus. We're going to see a social setting where Jesus was present, and we're going to see what happens when Jesus comes to dinner. We're in Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, and so you can either read along in your Bible, or of course the words will be up on the wall. It happened that when Jesus went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread. And we read that and we're kind of surprised that he would be invited to the home of one of the leading Pharisees, because that doesn't usually seem like it should happen. This is probably not in Jerusalem. This is likely up in Galilee where Jesus was raised, and it seems friendly. Seems like a really nice gesture. And we keep reading and then discover that the setting is less friendly than we had hoped it would be. Luke tells us in verse 1, in the rest of the verse, that they were watching Jesus closely. So this is the Pharisee who was hosting the party, and all of his other little Pharisee friends, they were all there, and they were keeping an eye on Jesus. You can imagine how enjoyable it would be to be invited over to a friend's home, and you know they're watching your every move to see if you make a misstep. Wouldn't that be a fun evening for you? Now, you may know that the Sabbath, this dinner party happened on a Sabbath, and the Sabbath for the Jews is the day of rest. Friday sunset till Saturday sunset, it's no work allowed. It's to be a refreshing day of no work. At this nice dinner party with all Pharisaic eyes trained on Jesus, an uninvited guest walked into the house, and he stood right in front of Jesus. In front of him was a certain man, suffering from dropsy. Now, dropsy is a disease we would refer to today as edema. And edema is just kind of a collection of body fluids, either in body cavities or in tissues. And we know today that it's the result of a problem with a heart or liver or kidneys. In the first century, the rabbis in Jesus' day blamed edema on sin. And if you were suffering from edema or dropsy, they would know that you had committed some egregious sin. And somehow this man with dropsy has shown up at the Pharisee's home where Jesus is being served dinner. Now, it's possible that the guy just dropped in, uninvited and unannounced, came in off the street. Evidently that happened in the first century. I've read in a couple of places that when there was a party, the doors were open, and anybody who wanted would often come in. I think it's much more likely that he was a plant. That the Pharisees, who wanted to test Jesus, steered this guy into the house to see if Jesus would work, that is, if he would heal on the Sabbath. Already, all the eyes had been on Jesus, and now they're just laser-focused to see what is he going to do. They think that they have Jesus between a rock and a hard place. Because he's either going to heal, and if he heals, then he'll be guilty of violating Pharisaic rules about Sabbath keeping, not God's law, but the Pharisaic rules, or he won't heal, and that will make him appear to not care. So they've really got Jesus boxed in. Jesus doesn't appear to feel boxed in at all. And he answered, I actually really love that in verse 3, nobody has said a word, and he answers their thoughts. He answered and spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees and said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And there was silence. They said nothing. Some silences are deafening. I think this silence was one of those deafening silences because they exposed what small hearts they had towards people who were suffering. All they were doing was using a disabled man as a pawn in their game to, let's get Jesus, let's just trip him up. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. He took the situation in hand and he restored the man to full health, and the man hopped, skipped, and jumped away from that dinner party. And then Jesus has one more question he's posing to the Pharisees who are his hosts. Which one of you will have a son or even an ox, and he falls into a well, will not immediately pull him out, even if it is on a Sabbath? And they could again make no reply to this. Again, it's silence. And I've got to believe it was kind of an awkward silence, because now Jesus has bested the Pharisees. And they've been shown to be that callous, uncaring people that they really were. Jesus wasn't uncomfortable. I think if the Pharisees were uncomfortable, Jesus is doing just fine. In fact, he's really just getting warmed up on this very dynamic evening, this evening at a Pharisee's home. After the healing was finished, everybody went back to the table. It's a low-slung table. You're reclining at the table, and so they're ready to eat their meal again. And that's when we read in verse 7 that Jesus noticed something. And that comment makes husbands like me very, very nervous. Because over the now famously 35 years that Kathy and I have been married, I have been guilty on occasion of not noticing some little detail like new hairstyle or new glasses or rearranged furniture, freshly painted room, you know, a new car, whatever. And when I hear, well, did you notice? I know I've missed something. Observation is really important in marriage. Actually, it's really important in life generally. And Jesus was a master at observing things. Never missed a trick. And he notices something going on at this party, and he remarked on it. He just said it out loud. So he began speaking a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they'd been picking out the places of honor at the table. It's not unusual that people want to be honored. Any of us might want to be honored at a party, and we've probably all seen at parties or formal gatherings some people trying to push their way to the front and to the receiving line. So we get that. Some people seek honor subtly. You know, they're sophisticated about it. Others get bossy and just elbow their way up to the front. And that's what's going on here at this dinner party where Jesus is. Everybody is trying to get to the best seat, as close to the host as they can. And having observed that, Jesus offers some sage advice. When you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, don't take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by the host, and then he who invited you both shall come and say to you, give your place to this man, and then in disgrace, you proceed to occupy the last place. Wise words. We shouldn't push our way to the front, because that could result in some real embarrassment. Instead, intentionally choose the last place. But when you're invited, go and recline at the last place so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Okay, so we read that, and we're tempted to kind of put that in the category of helpful sayings from Jesus as to how to make life work. And it, you know, just this is how to deal with a party situation. But it's more than that. And we know it's more than that. It's more than just a Miss Manners kinds of type of advice about social graces, because Luke identifies what Jesus says here as a parable. And remember, a parable is a story in street clothes that communicates spiritual truth. So there's something in this parable about our life with God. And the point of this parable, that talks about a party, the point is rest in God and just relax and don't give thought to your status, to your position, to your reputation. Let God take care of all that and breathe deep. Trust God. That's wisdom. It's urging you and me to rest in God's care. Jesus gave that message to people who were knocking over chairs on the way to the head table. Now he's got everybody's attention at the party. And then he goes on to make another observation, and he gives some more completely unasked for friendly advice. He has observed that the host has invited only those guests who were wealthy, important, influential people, just like he, the host, is. Now, Jesus assumes this guy is going to give other luncheons, other dinners. So he has some advice about how to throw a party that will be a success. So you can imagine how that would go over with you if you spent hours and hours putting together a really nice party, and right in the middle of the party, one of your guests comes up to you and he whispers, "Hey, I've got some great ideas to make your next party fun." That'd probably go over like a lead balloon, but that's exactly what Jesus does here. He went on to say, to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that would be your repayment. Now, the sense is not that you never invite your friends to a party. It's that you don't always invite only your friends to the party. Don't entertain only those who can entertain you back. Next time, try inviting those who can't repay you. When you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed, since they don't have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And we know how the cycle goes. All the guests who were there at the party Jesus was attending would have felt obligated to invite all the other guests to their home for the next party. Jesus says, break that cycle. Expand the circle. Invite those who can't invite you back. Invite those who you would never have dreamed of inviting in the first place. And there's a word for us in that too. Don't invite with an eye to being invited. Don't give with an eye to getting. Now, this is all happening on the evening where Jesus is invited to the Pharisees' home and he's having a dinner with them. I want us to back away from the passage for just a minute, back away from the story and just see what we've seen. One, we've seen that the Pharisees totally lack compassion. They didn't give a hoot about the man with the dropsy. Second, the Pharisees were self-conscious social climbers. They rushed to get the best seats. That's what they were all about. And then third, they had no heart to reach out to those less fortunate than themselves. All they did was had this never-ending cycle of inviting each other to their parties. And Jesus has tried to break through by a miracle, a parable, and some friendly advice to move them towards love and to move them towards compassion. And it is to no avail. Now, the reason I say it's to no avail is because of what one of those who were at this party said after Jesus has spoken. One of them overheard Jesus saying something about the resurrection of the righteous. Now, here's a party taking place on the Sabbath, and when he heard the resurrection of the righteous, that got this guy thinking about the banquet that God is going to throw at the end of time when God's kingdom is fully established. So the guy's thinking about this wonderful party God's going to throw, and he blurts out, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Well, nobody's going to argue with that. It'll be a tremendous blessing for everyone who does feast in the kingdom of God. But Jesus listens not just to what's said, he listens to the meaning behind the statement. And I think Jesus heard something more in that shouted out statement than just the pious remarks of a trusting Jew. Based on what we've seen about who the Pharisees are and what they've revealed about themselves at this dinner party, I think the guy was saying something like this. Really glad to be here at this dinner party. I'm really glad that I'm going to be at the great feast of God. I'm glad that I'm going to be going to heaven. And I'm really glad that all my friends here are going to be going to heaven too. In fact, I'm glad that all my friends and all of those like us are going to be in heaven. And the reason I think there was something sort of insulated about this man's statement is because that statement, blessed are those who eat in the kingdom of God, is followed by this parable. Verse 16 starts off with, but he said to him, Jesus said, so here's the parable. A certain man was giving a big dinner and he invited many. So the setting is, this is the party of the year for whatever region this area is. Lots of people. It's going to be a lavish affair. And then at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. And what would happen in the ancient world when there was a big event, big party, big banquet, is that weeks or months in advance of the event, the host would send out invitations where people would respond yes or no, we'll come to the party. It's sort of like you send a save the date announcement, and people circle it on their calendars so that they'll make sure and not double book anything for that particular day and time. And then later, on the actual day of the event, the host would send a second invitation, which essentially was, come and get it. Everything's ready. So in the parable that Jesus is telling here, he envisions everybody has already said their yeses and their noes. Now it's time for the second invitation. The day of the feast has arrived, and now he sends his slave around to tell those that the food is hot. Come on, and let's get this party started, okay? The host expects that his guests are going to be as excited about coming to the party as he is excited about having them come to his house for the party. Never dreams that those who have said yes to the party are going to decline at the last minute. But they all alike began to make excuses. The slave went to one who said, I've bought a piece of land and I need to go and look at it. Please consider me excused. Not a thing in the world wrong with buying property. But he would now rather go gaze at this recently purchased acreage than go to the party that he'd already agreed to attend. Another one, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to go try them out. Please consider me excused. Nothing wrong with buying more farm animals to get more farming done more efficiently. Why choose to take them out for a test drive now? When you knew this party was coming for weeks, you already RSVP'd yes. And then the third, I've married a wife. For that reason, I can't attend your party. Maybe, could I bring my bride to the party? Absolutely clear, none of the invited guests were really very interested in going to the party. They declined to go. It's an outrageous breach of etiquette. Such a low priority, anything would get in the way. Family, business, got to wash my hair, you know, whatever excuse you would choose to use to get out of this date. Anything's more important than this feast. Now, the parable that Jesus is teaching is about a feast. And the feast is a symbol for eating in the kingdom of God. The invitation to the feast is an invitation to be eternally saved, to enter into a relationship with God. And the parable is about a party. I'm really struck that the parable is about a party. And what these guests didn't realize is what they were passing up by saying no. They were passing up free food and drink, great fellowship, fun and games, a wonderful time. I think it's so fascinating when then Jesus gives a parable about going to heaven. He doesn't talk about a fast. He talks about a feast. He talks about a party. I believe that many people today reject Jesus, do so because they don't understand what is being offered in the gospel. We hear an invitation to come to Jesus, and we think, I'd rather go to the mall. I'd rather go to Fiesta, Texas. And we don't get that an invitation to come to Jesus is capital L-I-F-E. It is life. And we don't know that coming to Jesus means coming to the one who is peace and the one who gives joy. If you're here today and you're listening to Jesus' invitation to come, more specifically, come to the party, or maybe this is the first time you've understood that what Jesus is saying to you is, come, then I urge you today to come to Jesus. His invitation is absolutely sincere. He wants you to come. He wants you to put your faith in Him and know eternal life. Don't be like those in the parable who passed up an invitation to the most satisfying banquet you could ever imagine. The Bible repeatedly says, today is the day of salvation. As long as we're here, today is the day of salvation. So run to Jesus today. Come to Jesus today. Put your faith in Jesus today. There's no question that our God wants all of us who are here to come to Jesus. Now, that's a very important kind of a climactic moment, but we're going to take a page from Jesus' playbook and notice something. We're not finished because we notice that Jesus isn't finished. The parable's not done yet. The invitations have all been thrown into the shredder, but Jesus has another part of the parable to tell us. There's nothing more important to the host of this party in Jesus' parable than that his banquet hall be filled and that there be no empty seats at the table. So, the slave who had been handing out the second invitations, come and get it, came back and reported that to the master, and the master was furious, and he said, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. So off the servant went. The slave went to the hospitals, he went to the medical centers, he went to the parks, he went to coffee shops and libraries and schools and theaters and every place he could think of to go to find people who weren't expecting an invitation, and he invited them to come to the host party. And they all said yes. They were all absolutely honored to come to this party. It would be sort of like Kathy and me receiving a call from the director of the Tobin Center. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but this call, which is completely imaginary, would come to Kathy and Dave, inviting us to join a few select friends who will be listening as Sir Paul McCartney gives a benefit concert on October 1st. I think we'd say yes. Yeah, so, but that's the kind of invitation that's being offered to these people who were in the streets and lanes of the city. They weren't expecting to be invited to the party of the year. And they heard the invitation. They all said yes and ran as fast as they could to the host's home. But there's a problem. And the problem is, it's reported actually in verse 22, "Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room." The big problem is, there are still empty seats at the table. So the master said to the slave, "Go out into the highways and along the hedges where there are shrubs and bushes and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled." He invites the people least likely to be invited to his banquet. And Jesus wants you and me to imagine the people least likely to be present at a banquet that symbolizes the feast in the kingdom of God. Let your imagination run wild at who those people might be. Where did the slave go? Where do you think the slave went to find people you would never expect to find at a fancy banquet? The parable says to the highways, along the hedges. Where would you go today to find people you would never expect to find at God's table? I believe I know one place that the invitation might have gone if they had been mailed out in 1971. I think the invitations would have gone to 11519 Rosser Road in Dallas, Texas, where there lived a teenager who denied the existence of God, didn't even believe that there was a God. And the invitation came there. Doesn't make any sense that there should have been an invitation there, but the invitation came in the form of a next-door neighbor who patiently and kindly told this teenager the good news about Jesus, that Jesus saves. It took a long time for the message to make sense. It took a long time for this message to find a home. But it eventually did, and this teenager came to see the beauty of the cross of Christ. And sometime in the middle of May 1971, I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and was eternally saved. The least likely attender of the banquet you could have ever imagined. I mean, if I'd been God, I wouldn't have invited me. It may be that you're thinking of a place that invitation might have come as well. Maybe it would have come to your house and found you, despite all that you have done. I mean, if you were God, would you have invited you? And yet he did. And he is. That slave went to people and places nobody ever would have expected to see at that banquet. And today God is inviting us, people you would never expect to see at God's banquet hall, to come join the party. Now in Jesus' parable, all of those who got the invitation knew that this offer, this is too good to be true. Sometimes you just take an offer that's too good to be true and you say yes, and they did. But what about those who were first invited? Well, Jesus says, "For I tell you," this is the host speaking in the parable, "I tell you that none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner." And he has the host of the party saying this in the parable, and it would have landed like a thud in the ears of the Pharisees. Because what the host is describing is how God has treated the Jews for centuries. For centuries, he's been inviting the Jews to come. And they've always said, "No, not yet, too busy, can't say yes." And Jesus is warning them, today is the day of salvation, but today will pass. there will come a day when it's not today anymore. And if you don't say yes, I'm going to send the invitation to others who will say yes. But God's banquet table will be filled. There will be no empty seats. And the warning for every one of us here today is that God wants us to say yes to his gracious invitation. No question about it. But if we say no, not now, long enough, it'll soon be too late. And it won't be today anymore. God's heart beats fast at the thought of outsiders coming in. He loves the thought of the lost being found. He wants a full house. He wants a full table. That's why Jesus came from heaven to earth, to fill his Father's house. That's why when you see Jesus in the Gospels, he's always spending time with people who are far from God. Really nice moral people, tax cheats, prostitutes, priests, doesn't matter. If you're far from God, Jesus loves you. Jesus came for you, spent time with them. He invited them all in. You look at the various religions in the world today, when you hear the various religions, except for Christianity, talk about heaven and how to get there, you hear words like work and pay and do. Jesus is the only one who simply says, come. And it's even better than that. Come to the party. So have you said yes to Jesus' invitation? It really comes to that. If you have, that's wonderful. If you have not, come today. Say yes to his invitation. Put your faith in Jesus, believe in Jesus, and you'll receive the free gift of eternal life from your Heavenly Father who's crazy about you. That's why you sent Jesus. If you are interested in saying yes, and you're not quite sure what that would look like, and you want to find out more about this, please feel free to get in touch with me after the service or give me a call this week. I'd love nothing more than to talk with you about it. But if you've already said yes, are you now looking for the unexpected and the unexpecting to invite them to the party? Are you praying for opportunities to speak a word of grace to the people you know who don't know? You know people who don't know that capital L-I-F-E is found in Jesus. And you who have come to know Jesus know people who don't know that in Jesus there is peace and there is joy. So how will they ever, ever know? You will tell them. And that's how they'll know. I'd like for us to pray as we close. So if you would stand with me, let's pray together now. Father, we thank you for the gracious invitation you gave and that you give right now to us all to come join the party. For all of us who have said yes, we recognize that it's not because of any merit of our own. It's not because we're the kinds of people that belong at God's banquet table. It's because you and your grace invited us to come. Thank you. For any who are here today, Father, who have never said yes to your gracious invitation, reveal to them how beautiful is the cross of Jesus, how great is your love. We pray, Father, that as we leave this place, we would leave on mission to share the love of Jesus with those we meet and to tell them to come. We've thought a lot about grace today. Sung a lot about grace at the beginning. Let's end our time this morning singing Amazing Grace together.